Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. I am your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and the preacher of the hour. We want you to know today that you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, tell them that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. Well, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. God, we thank you for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, that word that we hear in our heart, God, that we will not sin against thee. Father, have your way, God, in every part of our soul and our spirit. God, touch those, God, that are in our radio audience today. Lord, bless them, keep them ever before you. God, meet every need, God, even right now. The words say, ask and it shall be given. And Lord, we ask indeed, God, in behalf of your people today, God, that you will give them the desires of their heart according to the word of God. And Father, we thank you and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, you are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast, and we are broadcasting live from the Bold City of Jacksonville, Florida. Here today, we find ourselves again in the Word of God. We find ourselves here ready to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising Word of God that is able to save our souls. So here in the book of 1 Samuel, that is where the Lord is leading us to preach on this morning. And we want you to know the power of prayer. Yes, there is a power. There is a power in praying. There is nothing too hard for God. Let's begin to read here at that first verse. Now there was a certain man of Ramah-Amah-Zophim of the Mount of Ephraim, and his name was Ananias, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tubu, and the son of Zub, and Ephraim's wife. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now, when we began to look at the Word of God, well, we, first of all, we want you to know that we're talking about prayer this morning. I want you to know the effects of prayer. I want you to know that prayer changes things. I want you to know today when we pray and believe God that whatever we ask according to his word, it shall be done. For the word of God says that heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of his word will fail. Now, in the word of God, in 2 Chronicles 7, chapter in the 14th verse, it says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn away from their wicked way, he said that he will hear from heaven. He said that he will forgive the sin. He said that he will heal the land. I want you to know today that when we think about prayer, prayer is a spiritual communion with God. Prayer bridges the gap between heaven and earth. So therefore, it's important that we pray. It's important that we know how to pray and how to make our petition before the Most High my God, when we began to read the word of God today, we see a man, Ananias, who had two wives. Now, when we say that he had two wives, it is exactly what I said. He had two wives, but that was in the culture where he, at that time, when a man had more than one wife. And when he had, because of the fact that he had more than one wife, we find that one of the wives was able to produce and have children, and the other wife was not. When we look at the word of God in that second verse, it said he had two wives, Ananias did, and the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah, and Hannah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. When we look at the word of God, you can imagine the way that the wife that was barren, who was Hannah, we could imagine how she may have felt. You know, it'd be different if she didn't want any children and she didn't desire to have any children, but this woman, she didn't have any. But then when we began to read the word of God, the word of God tells us that Phinehas, Phinehas had children. The other wife, she had children. And that means she had more than one. She had children to be able to sit at the feet of the Father, to be able to put them in his lap, to be able to kiss, to run around in the house. But he loved it, both of his wives. He loved that Hannah as well as Peninnah. But when we look at the word of God, here in that fifth verse, it says, but to, he gave Hannah a worthy portion, but he loved it, Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, that's very important for us to hear today, that the Lord has shut up Hannah's womb. Now, why do you say, why would God shut up this woman's womb? One woman was producing, the other woman without a child. But the word of God says that he has shut up her womb. She could not have any children. And her adversary also provoked her sore, or to make her fret, because the Lord has shut up her womb. When we're talking about an adversary, we're talking about an enemy, a person that is not for you, a person that is against you like your foe, a person that will attack you, a person that comes against you with words and with their and they will say certain things that will cut you. If a knife can cut and make a cut, it will cut the very layer of your suck you at the skin and suck you area. It will go down to the fascia. It will go down to the peritoneum, and it will expose you because it cut. It cut without even any anesthesia. The cut was such a cut that will hurt, that will cause a pain. And I believe that the enemy is the head of a person that will come against another person and will try to attack them. I believe that this is a setup from the devil. I believe it's from Satan. I believe that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This woman, she came for the fact of that she wanted to make her hurt. She wanted her to feel bad about she, because of the fact that she could have and bear children, and but she could not. So when we look at the Word of God, because the Word of God tells us, as we said before, in that sixth verse, that the Lord has shut up her womb. And as in that seventh verse, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. So it wasn't enough for her to do it once or twice, but she made it a career. She made it something that she was going to consistently do. She wanted to make sure she drives that nail and hurt her. So therefore, she tried to provoke her. She tried to incite anger and make her angry. She tried to come to bring about, try to attack her and try to get her enraged. Have you ever been enraged because of the fight? You get so angry on the inside, and that's not a good way to be. That's not where God wants us to be. But, you know, I know the Word of God says anger but sin not, but at the same time, we got to trust and believe God. Yes, attacks will come. Yes, the enemy will come. Yes, sometimes the enemy will fix you. Sometimes you're going to get resentment, but you got to know the God that you serve. And you got to know no matter how long you have to wait on what you've asked from God, you got to believe that it's going to be done. You may have asked him last year and you still have not seen the thing being manifested in your life. You may have asked him 3 months ago and you still have not seen it manifest in your life. But you got to know that God is faithful. You got to know the God that you serve. You got to know that God, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and he is the last. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about God that has all power in his hand. I'm talking about a God that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask of things. So here we see the woman being provoked. We see that the woman trying to provoke Hannah. We find that she tried to provoke her. She was being used by Satan as an adversary to come against her. But yet this woman knew the power of a prayer, even when she was being provoked, when she was trying to arouse a strong feeling in Hannah, when she was trying to be a instigator and get her, yet she had to stand and she had to be able to stand on her knees. She had to begin to pray. She knew that what she wanted on the inside, she knew that it was her desire, that God knew what this woman's desire is and was. God is not blind. It's not that God cannot see. It's not that God cannot understand. It's not that God is not with you. You got to know that God is with you. You got to know that God will not leave you and he will not forsake you. So here we see this woman have been provoked. She's trying to provoke Hannah, the other wife. She's trying to provoke her because she was able to have children and many children, but yet Hannah did not have any. And then we began to look there in that eighth verse. Then said Ethanite, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weep you? And why eat you not? And why is your heart grieved? Am not I better to you than 10 sons? So he began to, he knew that he loved Hannah. He knew that Hannah was a woman that knew that she knew that she could not bear, she could not bring forth, but yet he still loved her. Children are not. He still loved Hannah. desire for her to be in pain. It wasn't her desire to be feeling like she was alone, and she wasn't able to bring forth this child. So here you find that Ananias, he began, he wanted to console her. He wanted to encourage her. He wanted her to know that, Hannah, I love you. Hannah, why are you weeping, Hannah? Why don't you eat something? You know, sometimes when we go through situations in our life, sometimes we will weep. Sometimes we will shed tears, will come from our eyes because of the fact that we are sorry for such a situation or whatever is going through our lives. Sometimes it could be a tear. It could be tears of joy. But here we find that she was weeping because she was in anguish. She was expressing her sorrow. It was like bitter tears that was coming because of the fact that she was barren, couldn't have a child. Yet we know that the Lord, because the word tells us, the word of God tells us that God had shut up her womb. It was God that was causing her, that was the reason why she couldn't have a child. Sometimes we don't understand the plan of God. Sometimes we don't understand, God, what are you doing, God? Don't you see me praying? Don't you see me interceding? Don't you see me fasting? Don't you see me praying before you, God? But Lord, what is happening here? Why am I going through this pain that I'm feeling? Here you see in the word that the Penaya, she was the woman that was an instigator. She was the one that was trying to provoke Hannah, was trying to make her feel unworthy, make her feel like she wasn't even a woman because she could not bear a child. But then he finds that the husband that she loved and he loved at her, he was concerned about her. He was concerned because she was weeping. Have you just wept and wept sometimes? Have you ever been in that place? Well, Hannah was in that place. Hannah was in that place that she kept weeping. And she even wept came to the point that she would not eat. Now, you've got to be coming to a place in your life that you are in sorrow, that you are discontented or something wherein that you won't eat, that you at your very wit's end when you find that many people, when they stop eating, because many people like to eat. So therefore, this woman, she was in, she had wept, she had been through things that she experienced with the other wife, and so therefore she was grieving. So therefore she didn't feel like eating. She didn't want to eat. She had been attacked by the enemy. The enemy had came against her, and so there are different ways that the enemy will come. The enemy will come through other people. The enemy will come and he tried to pull you down. He tried to sabotage you, and he tried to assassinate your very mental mind. So yet we see in the word of God that the Lord let us know that this woman would not eat, and he asked her, why eat you not, and why is your heart grieved? Why is your heart grieved? See, sometimes people don't understand some things that you're going through like you understand. Sometimes when you're going through things, you want to know why you're grieved, why you're sad, Hannah. He said, am not I better to you than 10 sons? And he knew that she wanted to have a child. He knew that she wanted to have a man child. She knew that this woman wanted to get pregnant, but she couldn't. Try to shut up her womb. want to try and make us better. I'm better. Am I not better? Don't I treat you good? You know, am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And that's in that ninth verse. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept so. My God, you can imagine what she had been going through. She was already blaming herself. She was already discouraged because she thought that she wasn't able to have this child or have a child. And then you have the adversary in the same home looking at her every day. Now, I'm telling you, those that hear me today, as I said before, this was the cultural that they had at that time. It wasn't, and it's not this day and this time that a man should have more than one wife. But at the time of the scripture, here we see that this man had two wives. But here today, think about it. Know what I'm saying? That this is not the will of God. Now, here we see that this woman was in bitterness of soul. She prayed to the Lord, and she wept sore. In that 11th verse, and she vowed about. Sometimes you come to a place in your life, oh, my God, that you have to get really serious with what you want. How bad do you want what you want? Come on. How bad do you want it? Sometimes we're afraid, but we don't really have that sound faith to believe what we're praying about. When we look at the word of God in Hebrews, the 11th chapter says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. I don't see it, but I don't even feel it. But I'm going to believe God. Why? Because God said it. And if God said it, he is able to perform it. So here we see that and know that she had been praying. Many people pray, but are you believing God for what you're praying for? Are you standing on the word? And God is the word. Are you standing on that solid rock? Jesus Christ, he is that solid rock. He is that word. He is God. He's God by himself. So here she bowed and bowed and said, oh, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed, come on, look, if you would indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget me. This is when she was getting really serious. But will give to your handmaid a man child. She didn't ask for a girl. A girl is good to have. That's not what she wanted first. She wanted a male child. So she said to give, she said she wanted a man child. She said, then I would give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, this, when you find a woman that was serious, she had been praying, she had been interceding, but her faith didn't get to that point wherein that she was able to give up that which she wanted God to give unto her. I mean, come on. There's a time in our life that we want things in our lives, but then we haven't really gotten serious with the Lord. We haven't really walked in faith. We don't really believe God. So here, Hannah decided that I'm going to make a vow to the Lord. Now, look, when I'm saying Hannah said she was going to make a vow to the Lord, that's what she did. But I'm telling you today, if you don't believe what you are saying about whatever request that you make before God, don't tell God that you're going to do this and thus and that if you're not going to keep the vow. It's better to not to make the vow than to make it and break it. So, but Hannah was serious. See, as we read in the Word of God, that the Lord had shut up her womb. And I just believe that even as God shut up her womb, he had to get her to this place in her faith and her commitment unto him, that she, whatever God gives her, which was the male child, that she was willing to give it back to God. So here in her prayer, she herself, God didn't tell her to say this, but she said it because she was willing to do it. She said, here in that 11th verse, I need to read that again to you. And she bowed about and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid, she knew she was going through some affliction, and remember me. It's not that God had forgotten her, but she said, and remember me, and not forget your handmaid, but will give to your handmaid a man child. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Eli was the priest. Now, Hannah, she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought that she had been drunken. He thought she had been too long at the wine. She wasn't saying things loud. She wasn't a voice. Her voice was not lifted up. And you could not hear what she was saying. But this was a conversation that she was having with God. She made that vow to God. The priest and those around her could not hear what she was saying. So the priest thought that Hannah had been too long at the wine, that she had drunken too much, that something wasn't right about it. And Eli said to her, how long will you be drunken? Put away your wine from you. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Doubt not your handmaid for a daughter of Belial. But out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken here too. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition that you have asked of him. When he understood the condition of the woman, when he understood that she wasn't a woman of Baal just because she was is a difference between being drunk. It's a difference between being long at the wine and your sincerity in prayer and getting through unto God. And that's what the woman of God was doing. Hallelujah. She was there because she needed to hear from God. Have you ever been so desperate until you will go before God and you will say, God, do this for me and I'll do this, Lord God. I promise you, Lord God, that I will live for you the rest of my life. There are people that said these very words and did not stand on God's word, did not live up to it. Say, Lord, I live for you. God, I do this and I do that. But this was not the case of the woman of God. She had gotten, she had decided so in her heart that, Lord, if you give me this male child, I will give him back to you. I will lend him back to you. And when Eli understood what she had prayed, Eli told her, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant you your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. When she knew in the spirit, come on, before she would even eat, she just kept weeping. She was grieving. But then after she believed God, and after she had prayed, after she had made that petition before God, after the priest had prayed, she went away and she ate, and her countenance was no more sad. She wasn't sad anymore. She wasn't worried anymore. She wasn't distressed anymore. She didn't care what Peninnah would say about her. She didn't care how she tried to make her fret and make her weep and provoke her. It was over. It was over. No matter what people trying to do to you, it's over because she believed God. She believed God, that God was going to grant her petition. And in that 19th verse, and they arose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to that house of Ramah. And Ephaniah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remember her. Come on. He knew her. In other words, they came together as man and wife. And in that, God remembered Hannah. God remembered Hannah, even as Eli had prayed for her, even as she had made the petition before God. See, these are the words that God was looking for her to say out of her mouth and mean what she said. Therefore, it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, she got pregnant and she had conceived, that she bare not a daughter, but she bare a son. And she called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Ananias and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and vow. I believe that Hannah, she would not, come on, some things you're not going to do until God be able to create in you a clean heart and a right spirit, to God be able to move on the inside of you, to God get ready, have that chance to condition you, to fill you with that faith and that power and his anointing, some things that you're not willing to do. And I just believe that at a point in Hannah's life, that she wasn't willing, she wasn't going to be able to say, Lord, I would give what I want so desperately, what I want the child that I want to hold in my hand, the child that I want to rock in a rocking chair, the child that I desire to see running around this room. She wasn't even thinking about giving him that child because of the fact that was the child that she wanted. That was going to be especially if she was that new mother. And she wouldn't think about what mother will would have wanted a child? What mother would have gotten pregnant? And she was a godly woman. What woman would give away her child? There's not too many women that would do this. But here, God would condition her. Because when he allowed her to conceive and allowed her to have this man child, it was not just going to be any kind of child. Come on. This child was going to be a special child. God knew it from the beginning. God knew just like when he had Elizabeth have or a child. He knew that it was going to be John the Baptist, and he had to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on. And he knew that here when Hannah had this child, the child that Hannah was going to bear, this man was going to be a prophet of God, a mighty prophet of God. So therefore, he had a work to do. So therefore, Hannah, she said that she was giving back to God. She was giving to work for God. And she'll have them to serve in the house of God. She didn't know the full plan, but yet God had to get her into that place that she would be willing to give it back to God. So here we see in the Word of God that she believed God. She began in that 22nd verse, but Hannah went not up. But she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. They weaned the child. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. My God. This had to be a strong woman. She wasn't strong enough before. God knew if he opened her womb and she held this child, she was going to be willing to give it back to God for the use of God, for God to use it to take that child from out of after he was weaned, to put him into a place that he'll be able to be used for his sake. So here, she decided that after she had the child, she's going to wait until after she had breastfeed him, after he was weaned from her feeding him. And in the offer of the milk, then she was going to bring him and bring him to the Lord forever. And after now, her husband said to her, do what seems you good. Tarry until you, in other words, wait until you have weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. You know that it had to be God. What man is going to let you take his son? That only son from the woman that he loved and give him for the service of the Lord. But the word of God say only the Lord has established his word. So we see here, we don't have much time, but I want you to know today that there is nothing too hard for God. Hannah had to believe God. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what you've been waiting for, maybe been 2 years, a year, 6 months, 3 months, whatever it is, you got to stand and you got to believe God. But he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And there is nothing too hard. It looks like a difficult and an impossible situation for him. But I believe today, if you're a woman trying to get pregnant, it's nothing too hard for God. If you're married and trying to get and want to have a child, it's nothing too hard for God. If you're in a hard place, maybe your rent is due, whatever, maybe you're sick in your body, it's nothing too hard for God to do. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray even now, God, that you will touch every person in the sound of my voice. I see God. to move on their behalf. Lord, I ask that God, even as you showed us Hannah this morning, and God, even as you move God upon Hannah, and God, even as you touch Hannah, Lord God, and even God, as you call her to be fertile, and God, as you call her, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to bring forth, even when it seems like a difficult and a time in her life that she was not going to produce. Father, I ask thee even now, God, cause the situation and the lives of the people, God, to line up with your word. Let them know, God, that you are God and God all by yourself. God, let them know, God, that you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. Let them know, God, that there is nothing too hard and nothing too difficult for you to do, Lord God. I pray even now, God, right now, that you are moving us hearts of the people. God, that you would touch them right now. God, that they will get increased, God. They will be increased through your word, God. God, that faith will come alive. God, that they'll know by today, God, without a doubt, God, that you are God and God all by yourself. And Lord, for this, God, we will glorify and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, you have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please join us on this coming Friday at the same time. A word to you today, be strong in the Lord your God. Pray without ceasing. Know that God is on your side.